kick off hour number two. You can't ask about a basic thing. Like, yeah, it like needs to be something complicated.
I just opened up the product list.
I think you should go. I think you should explain, Hickman, that when we have a curved raised bond beam and we install the shear descents, how we have to cut these plastic, kind of cheap, you know, waterfall, that I wouldn't call them cheap, delicate plastic waterfalls. And you have to make that cut perfect and even, or the waterfall won't, you know, shear out the right way.
Mm.
And ask her what type of tool and blade would be the best for that.
Yeah.
Is it a Sawzall with a certain type of blade they sell, or... Or you could ask her about core drilling.
They do have Sawzalls.
That sounds, with
reciprocating.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Boom. So Hickman, ask her about the M18 Fuel Super Sawzall Reciprocating Saw. Product number 2722.
See, I think you should go in with a base play. I don't try and memorize the tool or something like what he's saying, because she's going to know way more in that department than you do.
Well, I know, yeah. But if you give her the product number, she'll be like, oh, wow, he looked up the product number. He cares about what I do for work.
No, you need to let her educate you on her area of expertise.
Well, just say, I was looking at this one, product number 2722. Do you think that would be good enough?
That sounds like he needs to act like it's just the first time he's walked through there, and he's like, there's a rep. I've been thinking about this.
That's the problem, is he's going to be, you know, that's why I want to give him a script so he knows what to say.
We need walkie-talkies for this.
It's a little earpiece. Ask her if she sells earpieces. That's perfect.
It's got to be organic. You can't script it. Then it will really sound like a boring just...
Hi, I'm Adam. My friends call me Hickman.
Do you like clouds?
Or how do you feel about clouds? And Tom Brady.
How many times do you think she gets hit on a day since she works in the Home Depot?
Well, if she's young, probably not that much.
You don't think
Home Depot is not a young man's playing field.
Yes, he's bad. I'd say probably 21, 22. So he does look a tad bit younger than me. Not much.
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Perfect.
But then again, I'm not very good at judging things, so she could be 30.
I say you go shear descent tool, or you explain that you work for a company that builds custom gunite pools, and occasionally...
Do you like pools?
Occasionally, when you have to do renovations, or you have to, you know, like, that you have to core drill through concrete, and, you know, we have various tools, but you need to know what would be the best for that type of operation.
I think that would be the most simple route to go.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember. Pressure, you know, non-existent pretty much. You know, it's an easy convo to have.
Okay. Go with Nate's idea.
What's exactly your idea? Memorize a product code?
Look,
SKU number?
My idea was to just find out what her name is.
Well, he couldn't. She was up on the lift. No name tag. What's she supposed to do? Hello!
Hi, I'm Adam.
What's your name, fair lady?
It worked in Shakespeare. He's no
throw down your air. I'll climb up there.
Milwaukee, Milwaukee. Oh, for where art thou, Milwaukee?
I'm trying to think of what's the equivalent of like a knight's armor in the Home Depot.
Come with me and mount this steed. It's a riding mower.
Yeah. You got one.
My javelin will protect us.
Wands. I was like picturing one of those wands that you like water things with when you can't reach it. That's like the sword, the joust. Come riding by. Get an electric mower so it's not too loud, you know.
My sword shall protect us. It's a saw. Mm-hmm. Hand saw, of course.
Yeah,
like a hand saw, not you know. Of course, she sells. No, it needs to be the right kind.
You gotta have the hard hat, and the goggles. You know, that's it's your mask. You know, pop the goggles up as you look up there.
Hello,
safety first. You know,
Hickman, you're laughing, but this is going to help you out. This is going to help you out. Look, right here, power tools, concrete. They got a whole section for concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys use, like, shop vacs?
Yeah, but the boys already bought one.
Literally, like, a week ago. You're killing me.
See, I think it needs to be a kind of a, at least a little bit of a complicated problem.
Like, yeah.
If you're like, hey, I need a pressure washer.
You don't want to
be like, they're right there.
You don't want to look dumb.
No, but then
you got to be like, we got these delicate sheer descent walls. I build custom gunite pools. I'm a construction supervisor. I don't know.
I watch guys dig holes.
Make the title as fancy as you want. You can lie at that point, I guess.
And I need some goggles that'll keep the dust out of my eyes when I watch guys dig a hole.
So we started doing more and more, you know, complex projects. When we build a raised beam, we have these walls and we have these sheer descent waterfalls, and they have to be perfectly even. When they're in a curved wall, we have to cut that curve, and you know, our previous guy that used to do it's no longer with us, and we need to know what your thoughts are on the type of tool and blade that would do that the best.
Did you get all that?
I like Nate's idea a little better.
I still don't know what Chris's idea is.
Just to go up and... I mean, obviously, I said he needs something. I don't know if it needs to be that difficult. I mean, you got to... She needs to have some kind of clue that, like, maybe he's interested. Oh, thank... Otherwise, it's just a business transaction. Like, boring.
What do you want him to do, lead off with a pickup line?
No.
God, that's so middle school.
That's why I said no. That's a terrible idea.
Okay, well, what would you have him do?
I've already said. I mean, if you've got a specific problem, I guess that's okay. I don't know if you need something that specific. Just like, hey, you know, I've heard Milwaukee's a good brand, and I need some whatever. I don't know. Pressure washer.
I mean, if you want to go like the Top Gun route, you could be like, hey, my coworker, he loves Milwaukee, but I've always told him they're overrated and overpriced. Sell me on why I'm wrong. But now that you come off like a dick.
You should be looking at something here. Here's how it goes. Here's how it is. There's, I'm assuming around her are other tools that she would sell. At her, so she has her little stand, but like, is there Milwaukee tools right next to her? Someone's gonna know this girl. I feel terrible.
It's gonna be worse. Like four dudes that listen to the show are gonna be by today.
Yeah, we've already given it up. Like
I know, yeah.
They're already on their way to Home Depot.
Yeah,
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
It might work. No, it might work out for them because they're gonna walk in and be like, "Hey, what's your name? They talk about you on the radio." And then by the time you get there. Maybe you should just be like, hey, I'm on the radio, and apparently...
No, but I like that. You should be looking at something near her, and then if she asks you, hey, are you interested in this, whatever, say, I don't know, I'm a steel man, or DeWalt, Black & Decker, something. And then she'll be like, but Milwaukee's the best. And you say, I don't know. I've never had Milwaukee, but I do pretty well with my DeWalt. And then she'll sell you some tools. Then you buy her dinner. It's that simple. Maybe a hot dog and a Diet Coke, as Nate said, for $7.
He may need to make the move quick because you never know if she changed locations.
That's true. She could get shipped out tomorrow.
They might need her in a different
store. Is she there pretty much every time you're there?
Earlier in the mornings, yeah, like every day.
She doesn't get a day off?
I don't know. I mean, I'm only there Monday through Friday.
Bunch of lunch breaks.
You're there every day, Monday through Friday?
Not every day, but...
That makes sense.
I'm sure I've been on every day of the week.
No, a rep like that, she would want to have, you know, not 1,000 people around. She would want to be able to spend some time with one person who had questions about tools.
Yeah.
So Monday through Friday would probably make the most sense. I buy that. So you going to do something?
Next time I'm in there, I will scout the scene.
Let's go today after the show. I'll go with you. I'll stand back, Nate.
Pretty sure me and Miller got to get out to Alcoa today.
That's on the way.
Is it?
Shh, don't say if it is or not. I'm just trying to confuse people. Yeah, there's a Home Depot out past the airport.
What if she is a listener?
She's flattered.
Then she'd be able to look up what Hickman looks like, I guess. She'd be able to find him on social media. This wouldn't be like, God, what was the one?
Yeah, Tom my Hanks Twitter's movie? Adam Hickman 32. By the way, if you're out there, Milwaukee girl that works at Home Depot.
Houston, you should sneak out there and just like cut part of the podcast and just let her listen to it. Be like, here you go.
I'd be like, that's you. You're a Milwaukee girl.
You know, One in Stripes actually brings up a great point. Remote show at Home Depot.
It might turn into a sponsorship. Three and Out brought to you by Milwaukee Tool.
I told him he could go that route, too. He could go the radio route.
Mm.
He could say, hey, I'm in construction. I work for a pool company. And also, the executive producer of a big sports talk show. Do you know, like, you know, we talked to Home Depot about some advertising, but, you know, maybe something more specific for your brand would help you drive more business. Is there
like
somebody...
like a co-op for Milwaukee and Home Depot.
Yeah, is there somebody up the... You know, in the marketing department, up the food chain, I could talk to about, you know, getting some advertising going. And then you see, then maybe you could say, you know, you could be the face of our commercials.
The face of our, the voice.
You can maybe? Be the face for our commercials that are on radio.
We got video.
I'm not filming that. Just get her name. Good Lord. He'll be fine.
You gonna get in that thread next?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We'll see. Find out next. Hour 2 continues, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. We are more than a number. Your family. Walk in over 30 branches right here. Building more, too. Keep noticing new locations. Convenient to get to. Got more than one just right near the house. Can make big plays with their MVP money tools, Chris.
Oh.
tvacreditunion.com.
MVP.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's the official Credit Union of Three and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union.
Hmm.
All right, about this thread. I know this was a Barstool account, but it wasn't like the Tennessee account. Do we know who's behind this hype they're getting?
I don't. And I really don't care.
Okay.
It's Barstool SEC.
All right.
They cover the SEC.
You don't say.
You don't say much either, especially to pretty girls in places you shop. Anyway, tweeted yesterday at 3:22 p.m. We're jumping over to the SEC East for our next SEC preview, and it's going to feature the Tennessee Volunteers. No program has experienced more humiliation and disappointment over the last decade plus than the Vols. But Vols fans, I'm here to tell you, all of that is over with. It's over.
Over?
No more embarrassment, ever.
Okay.
Thread continues. For a program that typically has quite a bit of off-season excitement, I've got to say I'm very surprised I haven't heard more from the Vol faithful after a season where Tennessee's offense, in Heupel's first season, was absolutely elite. For a program that enjoyed the success of Peyton Manning, with an A, it's a common mistake, followed by a national championship soon after, led by T. Martin, all caps. This past season, Tennessee saw Hendon Hooker break the program record for passing efficiency and completion percentage, not to mention, in year number one for Heupel, they set program's record for total points, touchdowns, and yards in a single season. The offensive line returns four starters and added depth with Florida transfer Gerald Mincy, who didn't allow a sack in nine games last season, and added offensive line depth to the recruiting class. The offensive line last season was really good in some areas and really bad in others. They were a top five line in standard down line yards. I don't know exactly what that is. Top 10 in stuff rate, but were rated outside the top 120 in sack rate and pass down sack rate. if the protection for Hendon Hooker can go from awful to average, which, given the returning starters plus additional depth, this is an offense that should be top five in the country and hang 40 points in the overwhelming majority of its games. Outside of Georgia and Alabama, the schedule of defenses that the Vols are going to face is extremely weak. And quite frankly, none of these other teams are going to be equipped to keep up with the Vols in a shootout kind of game. They also get Georgia the week after the cocktail party, and they get Alabama the week after Bama takes on A&M. I'm not ready to call for the Vols to upset Alabama or Georgia, but I wouldn't be completely shocked by that either. The defense returned 7 starters from a unit that wasn't very good last year, 94th in EPA per play. But again, if this unit can just be average and manufacture a turnover or two, this team is going to be an absolute pain for teams to play against, to be candid. I think Tennessee is going to blow out Pitt in week 2, beat Florida in week 4, and go into the bye week with a ton of momentum, sitting at 4-0. I see 8 wins as the floor for this team.
What?
There's a lot of Kentucky hype as an SEC East dark horse, but in my opinion, it's Georgia number 1 and Tennessee and South Carolina with a chance to be the dark horses. I truly believe, and I can't believe I'm saying this, that this team has a shot to win 10 games.
Eight's the floor. And we're going to blow out Pitt, the team that beat us last year in our building.
We're going to blow them out.
I mean, it could happen.
At least this guy's putting it out there. You're playing the it could, it might, it may.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying this guy's.
I thought we were going to blow out Purdue.
We were on our way.
And then we didn't. And that's what worries me. I put my heart out there before.
We beat Purdue. We just didn't blow them out.
Okay.
And if that's a real game situation in the regular season, Heupel plays it.
Yeah,
so he gets us in field goal
range. He did play that game to not go to overtime, even though we did.
Yeah, you play for 3 in the regular season there.
The play we scored the touchdown on, where they called him down by contact, that was 4th down, right? Because we didn't get to kick a field goal. And then they just kicked the field goal to beat us, right? Was that not 4th down when Jalen Wright extends over the goal line?
Yeah.
And they call they blew the whistle after that?
Yeah, we turned it over on down. Sorry, I'm looking this up for you. Make sure. But yeah, we turned it over on downs on our overtime possession. 9 plays, 24 yards. Started 25. We came up 1 yard.
It was 25 yards and a touchdown, but yeah, I get you.
What?
He scored.
Oh, well, I'm reading the official.
Well, they're wrong. I mean, I guess.
Jalen Wright runs for no gain to the Purdue one. Yep.
What a fun game.
They went
that is one of the most egregious calls I've ever seen. Goal. The whistle blew after the ball extended, but they said, oh, I didn't blow the whistle, but I thought the play was over. And was going to blow the whistle. What is that even a thing?
No, it's not.
It's like, well, the whistle hadn't blown, but I thought the play was over and you hit the guy. So, sorry. That's a personal foul. Like, what the rules just didn't make any sense.
Now, when he makes the decision that when a referee makes the decision that the play is that the runner's forward progress is stopped and the play is over, then it's over. There's going to be a lag time from when the actual whistle blows. But, I mean, that's splitting hairs. I agree with you.
While I understand the forward progress is stopped, he's at the goal line and can extend the ball across the plane.
Well, I know. Like, not...
We don't have to rehash that. Yeah,
he anticipated that he was going to get stood up more or go down.
Right.
And
he cost us the game.
Messed the call up, yeah.
I mean, they won't admit that, but they absolutely messed that call up. 8 wins, floor.
I can semi-get behind that. I mean, I think our floor is 7-5, so what's one more game?
Look, I think this team has a chance to be a lot better in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you're going to miss Bayless and Javonte Payton. And defensively, I just have a lot of questions, mostly in the secondary. Now, The good news is you're not going to face a – I guess every team kind of has – there's until you play Bama, you're not going to be going up against a fully loaded, high-tilt offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Pitt could be good, but it's a new quarterback, new offense, and some receivers who obviously weren't Jordan and Addison last year. Obviously, you're not worried about Ball State. You're not worried about Akron. Florida has Anthony Richardson, and it's Florida, so they're going to have some dudes at receiver.
Yeah.
But they're not bringing back an Antonio Callaway. I mean, the list goes on and on for great Florida receivers. LSU does have Kayshon Boutte. They don't have a quarterback yet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a chance the secondary can kind of get acclimated early a little bit. And there's a chance that some of these guys that we, you know, kind of weren't too sure on, especially after the bowl game, maybe they've taken a big step forward and they're a lot better this year with more snaps, more practice, and so on and so forth. I mean, if we start 4-0, all those quiet people he was talking about for not hearing enough hype about Tennessee will be very, very loud if we're 4-0.
Well, just the I was thinking about the season ticket sales and how that's gone.
Would you have guessed that based on kind of the – I mean, I think people are excited. I would not have guessed the season ticket new additions would be that high. Also,
well, I think new additions are high because they lost people. I mean, didn't we used to be like 65,000 and their goal was 58,000 or 56 and they've gone over their goal, which all that's good, but like Pruitt drove season tickets down.
Yes.
So now there's been more room to improve. And Danny White's obviously made that a top priority. They've redone how they're doing them all.
And that's been a big issue lately too, by the way.
Oh, really?
People are not happy with the all digital tickets and mm-hmm. having to go through Ticketmaster. All of the parking passes are now digital too.
Oh, really?
Which is really funny to me because I don't know if you saw the video of it was a picture of, is it John Slaughter who's committed to us? And he was laying on his floor and he had all of his recruitment letters. And like 25 of them were from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they're the big ones, you know, like letter page size Tennessee envelopes and all that. And it's funny to me that we're trying to save money and not send out season tickets, but they're sending out, I don't know, a bajillion flyers to recruit. And I realize recruiting's important. But I'm going to miss the hard tickets. That was always fun each year, getting to see the new design on the hard ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what if you have a phone problem when you get to the stadium?
Yeah, Bear mentioned that yesterday. Like, obviously, you get to campus and cell service is so bad, your phone's constantly looking for a good signal, so the battery goes down faster.
That's something you have to manage.
If you're on campus all day, you're texting buddies, you're making mm-hmm. phone calls.
And like sometimes, like they email those to you. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
like I've had times where like my phone, like my email won't pull up.
Oh, buddy, you have to screenshot your tickets. That's kind of a rule for all tickets on phones.
But what if your phone just dies before you get to the gate? Are they going to have a charging station there so you can at least get in the game?
I mean, they've been doing this at other places for a long time.
But like, don't those other places also have the option of a hard ticket? I mean, in fairness, I don't know. For the last 2 or 3 years, I haven't had a hard ticket to a Tennessee game except basketball.
Baseball tickets recently, and I don't think so. I mean, maybe you can request that if you like order far enough in advance and get them shipped to you and all this stuff. But
I don't know. I thought they went just.
No, I mean
digital.
Not Tennessee. I'm talking about other places.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, if a Major League Baseball team can go all digital with, you know, whatever it is, 81 games a year, I'm sure we can do it for 7, you know.
Last year I had hard tickets to all the Tennessee men's basketball games I went to. And then I had only digital tickets for the baseball games.
Yeah, no, I mean, always screenshot your tickets, whether it's airline tickets or whatever, in case there's no signal to like check your email. Like what you're saying, Hickman. And then you gotta make sure your phone's
gonna be a lot of those little battery packs
mm-hmm.
sold around town probably. That'd have been a good market to get into. Maybe I should invest.
We'll come back with more Hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Hello, my friend. We don't
Hour two continues. The segment brought to you by Office Furniture Outfitters.
Oh, man. Hickman, it's only 7.5 hours.
1727 yeah, Grand it's Avenue. Bad. It's not 7 hours. It's like 7 minutes. It's right down the road here in town in Knoxville.
I was saying it's only 7 hours until we can go.
Rumor is...
get the chair.
May have a new chair tomorrow.
Wow, Hickman's so excited about this new chair that he's been...
No, I actually really
am. I almost said a word I'm not sure I can say.
Also, new bulb should be in soon.
You found some?
Got them on order. Should be here in a couple days.
Good. Good. No more whining.
Mm-hmm. Office Furniture Outfitters for all your office furniture needs.
Squeaky wheel.
New and gently used furniture. Right here in Knoxville. You can go check it out, the showroom. 1727 Grand Avenue and online at ofonox.com. The official office furniture of Fan Run Radio.
It's true, because that's what the chairs we sit in and the stuff we use.
Customer service unmatched. Heard we need a chair, and boom.
People accused us of that being set up, that we were going to do a 15-minute bid on the chair only to have... That's not how it worked. They're just such a great company that they reached out to us.
Yeah. Owner was listening, loves three and out. Can't beat that.
Probably the whole station.
Yeah.
No need to get... We don't want to be like selfish and mean, and the other shows do that.
I didn't make we comparison. Support, I was just saying.
No, I'm just saying
he probably loves the drive and talk sports.
Maybe not the drive, but anyway, but yeah, your point stands. They just love the station.
I think the Blitz might be coming back for football season, so people are excited about that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huge.
Huge.
Big news everywhere.
Yep. 8-4 is the floor, huh?
If we go 8-4, the four losses are to whom?
Tennessee.
Yep.
Well, Florida.
If you get off your phone, you probably wouldn't have made that mistake. No, come on. Who are the four best teams on our schedule?
Honestly, it's probably Pitt, LSU, Georgia, Bama.
Yeah. Maybe not Pitt.
Well, like, here's the thing. Like,
maybe like a Kentucky or a South Carolina.
When I say that, I feel like we should go 9-3.
Can go either way.
Because I'm not scared of Pitt.
He predicts a blowout win over Pitt and a win over Florida, and it says 8 is our floor. At that point, we've got one cupcake game left, so there's 5.
Well, I think he's predicting 9-3 and says 8-4 is the floor and 10-2 is the ceiling, and 9-3 is the prediction.
Oh, okay.
That's just my guess, kind of reading between the lines.
9-3, would you take it right now?
Does a bear crap in the woods?
I'm told yes.
Yeah. 9-3 sounds good.
Or would you let it ride for a 10-2?
I'd just take 9-3.
I mean, you could get 10-3 with the bowl game, so I think I'd take 9-3. I think I'd lock that in.
I mean, we've... I don't know.
You don't know?
I think there's going to be moments where we're like, oh my God, look at this team. We have turned the corner. And then I think there's going to be moments where we still just get a little frustrated because either the defense can't get off the field or
we have a second quarter slump. We're up 21 and all of a sudden it's tied.
First and goal. We get a false start. We end up kicking a field goal. You know,
well, those things happen to a lot of teams. If we can,
that's true.
You know, Davey,
you make a good point.
Davey mentioned the penalties per game, which was pretty high. But then we also did the math that penalties per play was not that crazy of a number. But because this team has 25 to 30 more plays than the average, you know, it's not that big of a deal. If we can shore up some of those pre-snap penalties, and I feel like with this offense, that's just going to happen because you're going so fast. Maybe a guy gets the wrong call, gets the wrong snap count. Like there's a lot to communicate in a very short amount of time.
True.
So the penalties can be very frustrating. As long as it doesn't become a persistent issue, I'm willing to deal with the fact that we are just going to have a few more offensive penalties per game due to the amount of snaps.
And when you go faster, you speed things up internally in your mind. You're more likely
There's a lot to communicate in a short amount of time, and they're out there, you know, they're running around, and, you know, and with fatigue comes mental fatigue. So you're more likely to make a mistake. But I think we'd all agree, though, the good outweighs the bad. No? Okay.
Yeah, no, it does. I just don't know how much. I'm trying to determine how much of each are we going to get, and then how does that relate to the schedule and winning and losing games. And the Pitt game, to me, is a really tough one to call. It's so early. I guess I'm worried about us when we are worse than the other team in the trenches. And I think we're going to be worse than Pitt in the trenches.
I don't know. I mean, he made a good point. Four offensive line starters back, second year in the system.
It wasn't Gerald a good Mincy. Offensive line last year, though.
No, you didn't listen.
We were good in some areas and pitiful in others.
Very good in certain statistics. It was our honestly, it was the sack rate that was high.
Should that be our most improved group?
How many times did I say Hendon Hooker was sacked? 36? That's another stat, though, that's like...
There's a lot of plays.
There's so many more plays. Like, an extra sack in a game is likely. If we can get a little better at pass pro... I mean, that's why we did our picks the other day. That's why I chose Jeremiah Crawford. Because he's the one non-returning starter. Like, he was not a starter last year. If he could be good to a, you know, really good, I feel like this offensive line has a chance to be... Overall, really good.
Did we lose the Pitt game last year because of offense or defense? It was 41-34.
This is going to sound weird. I'm going to say both. We scored.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
Well, I'm just saying we scored 34. We had a chance to score 60 if we could hit those deep balls.
Well, that and just
but the defense the could not get off the field
the spot, you know.
No, I know, but the defense. I mean, giving up was it 24 points in the second quarter?
That killed us on defense.
Yeah, that was just bad. That was bad.
If we beat Pitt, let's say by 14 points, are you guys going to be switching up your season predictions at that point? So you're 3-0.
Not necessarily on the total that we were to win by. Like, not if it's 14. If we maul them, then maybe. But it's going to be so... The good news is we get to watch Pitt against West Virginia, who's not... They're not great. I don't know what their over-under is. But West Virginia, at least...
Probably
it's a
five-win team next year.
It's a Power 5 team. It's a rivalry game. So that will be a game... Like, you're going to see Pitt's best for at least a quarter, two quarters. Mm-hmm. And if the game's close, you're going to see everything Pitt has to offer. Because obviously Pitt... That's a game they really, really want to win. Same for West Virginia. We get Ball State. Ball State, I believe, is ranked 107 or 110 out of however many teams. And Tennessee was as high as 10 nationally. I can't remember what stat that was. Like, Tennessee was 10. Ball State was 106 or 107. And Akron was 127. Like, Akron's almost too bad to be on the schedule.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
Count for anything.
Yeah, they're terrible.
So Crawford played 135 snaps, but none against the three best defensive linemen we saw.
Yeah, and 135 snaps Florida over the course of a season, that's like a game and
games,
a half.
Yeah.
His most were against Purdue at right tackle, 31 snaps. Was his most in a game.
I may need to go back and watch him in that game. I really don't want to go back
and
watch that game.
He didn't give up a sack all season, I don't think their best D lineman played against us, did he?
No, he did not.
Not sure.
But we also ran the ball pretty well that game, too. Like, offense wasn't really the problem. Didn't Jabari Small have like 180 yards or something?
Yeah.
So maybe he's...
Wait.
But at right tackle, which is weird.
Final segment, hour two. Right back at you next year on Fan. Final segment, hour number two, Thursday edition of Three and Out. You got the police report, huh? tell you anything earth-shattering news over there?
Well, I've already found them on Facebook.
Okay.
Keep the names off the radio.
Yeah, well, we won't throw the names out there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more to it.
Oh.
I'll have to get, I'll read it off the air.
All right, yeah. We'll come back to that.
In
the breaks.
And the break's going to be lit.
Be sure to check out the podcast at your Apple Store, Android.
In the Breaks podcast.
Yeah, In the Breaks.
It's our most popular one.
$3.99 a month.
$399 a month. It would cost that much with a 2-year commitment from at least 100 people for us to actually record the In the Breaks podcast. People would either love it or hate it.
They would love it.
You're probably right. They'd love some of it.
$9.99 a month. I'd pay that for VolQuest. Or own 3 or whatever it's going to be now.
Yeah, who knows, really.
Hickman,
just having a conversation.
Just hanging out
there
with his buddies instead of doing a radio show. Who is it?
It's Matthew on the horn.
All right. Bring Matthew on. Matthew, you're on 3 now. What's up, buddy?
Smoothly today.
Are we on?
We're on.
I'm sorry, I have to ask that now. I kind of laughed a little bit just picturing Bear pull out his phone and trying to like check to see if his ticket's on his phone. It's kind of a fun image in my head, but I do want to point out that it's kind of sad for guys like me who used to collect tickets as a kid. I mean, I'm 29 years old and I was collecting, like, I had like, I think, I don't know, a handful at a time, and I think I've only got like 100 now, but I was trying to make a table for like my eventual man cave, and I'm kind of curious, do you think this will be a permanent thing that we'll do, or do you think this is just like a trial run?
With the money they're going to save on not having to print those and mail them out, I'll be stunned if it comes back, honestly.
Yeah, I guess you're right. At that point, it's too economically suffice to say that, like, if they're going to save, like, thousands and thousands of dollars, it, probably even more than that, I would imagine so. Yeah. But
Well, I guess, what if, and I know this is rare these days, but what if you don't have a smartphone? I know it's rare. I totally get that.
Yeah, but.
But do you just not get tickets? Like, oh, sorry, you have to have.
Well, can you just. Is there a way to still a way to print them from your email, or not? I mean, it doesn't look good. It's not going to be a collector's thing, but can you not? Is there not a way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, what if you don't have a printer? I mean, I'm just. It is kind of weird.
Can you go to FedEx or something?
I mean, I guess everyone has, you know, somebody in their life that they could get a smartphone or a printer. Or something.
Not everybody's meant to go to ball games, I guess.
That's not fair.
I guess they're hoping that everyone's like my parents, and Claire Maxwell just has Austin put everything on her phone.
Yeah, exactly. You'll go with them to the game. They'll use your phone to get in, and then you'll drive back to the house.
Yeah, I'll drive back to Dallas.
There you go. Got to make sure they get in first. Nice and safe.
I'll hang up on this note, guys. As we talk about going into the season, we've got, you know, a great chance to have a great, you know, floor of 8-4. But we talked about, like, you know, guys that we want to see. I talked about on my last phone call, guys that we think could take the next step to get 10 wins. And I'd really like to point out that if Jeremy Banks learns how to actually drop back into pass coverage, because Adam said it earlier, I don't know what Juwan Mitchell we're getting this fall. I really do think that's a guy that I'm not worried about the offense. It's the defense that's really my primary focus. If they are at least above average, you have a chance. I think with Florida being down this year, LSU is questionable. I think you have a chance to go into that. But I kind of like to hear y'all's thoughts on Banks this fall. Thanks, guys.
He's going to be a tackling machine. He'll probably get a couple personal fouls.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can rein it in a little bit, I mean, how do we feel about Banks as a lineman? I mean, he's not Al Wilson, but I mean, I think he's a solid, above average SEC linebacker. I mean, he's not great in coverage, although he did have those two picks against, like, I can't remember who it was. I mean, it's year two, and I think he has a chance to be, what, second or third team all SEC?
That's what I was going
to
say.
And he may do that because he racks up so many tackles. My question for Banks is, can he start to do more plays, have more plays that impact the other team negatively? Don't get me wrong, tackles are great, but it would be really nice if instead of tackling a guy after an 8-yard gain,
you're forcing somebody into a turnover.
Yeah, can he get behind the line? I mean, I feel like Pruitt did a pretty good job of blitzing him from time to time, and he was pretty effective at it. Felt like last year we did not blitz him as much because we wanted him to clean up anything that was left over, you know, in the middle or down the field after a short completion. And I don't know. Like, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Does the defense become more aggressive in year two? Realizing now that, hey, we have to be able to force turnovers. We have to be able to force negative plays. That's our best bet. Because if we just say we're going to sit in nickel and you're going to nickel and dime us, I don't think that's what you want. Because that just means more plays. If I'm Tim Banks, I'm going to be. What would you say the aggressive level of the defense was? Aggression
like on a
level.
Scale of 10.
Yeah.
Last year, like a 6.
You think they were a 6?
Maybe a 5.
I was going to say a 4 or a 5. Mm. I'm probably ramping that up to a 7. And I'm just going to say, look, we're either going to get beat over the top, and they're going to give up a touchdown, or we're going to hit a sack fumble, a scoop and score, or at least get the offense the ball back. Because I think that's your best bet. I think that was Pruitt's thing, right? Was we're going to bend, don't break, we're going to force field goals, and then we're going to save the defense by having the offense go slow and run the football. If I'm Tim Banks, the less plays I'm out on the field, the better. Because if you let a team just nickel and dime you, and they score a touchdown, not only did you give up the touchdown, but you've just wasted 18, 17 snaps that your guys are tired. Then the offense comes back out, boom, touchdown on play 2, and you're right back out there. I'd get more aggressive. I try to force more 3-and-outs, force more turnovers, and if you give up a couple more big plays, and if it's not working early, then maybe adjust. But I would come out of the gates aggressive in just about every game. Because that's going to help the offense build the big lead. And then maybe the defense could adjust more in the second quarter too. Maybe in the second quarter as the offense is kind of slowing down for whatever reason. We saw this theme last year. Maybe in the second quarter you get a little less aggressive so that your offense has more time on the sidelines to game plan and scheme. It's going to be there's always a balance between offense and defense. You always want to play complementary football. In this system, I don't know what that is. Because typically it's a give and take.
Well, I think more teams are, in a weird way, more teams against these higher-octane offenses, they're playing more conservative. Like, you got Barry Odom out there dropping, like, everybody into coverage and just forcing teams to work the ball down the field, and you're just hoping for a mistake on offense. It's completely the opposite of kind of the play close to the line of scrimmage, blitz, and be aggressive and take away the run game that we saw in, like, the early 2000s from SEC defenses, where they could just shut teams down. Like, you just can't do that anymore. So you kind of have to just pick your spots, I feel like. But maybe they can complement that in the second quarter. I think that would be good. Figure out what the other team is doing in the first quarter that's new that you didn't expect, and decide to take that away. Tell your guys after the first series, hey, this is what we need to do on this play to take this away, and then the second quarter you can play more aggressive. I like it.